Direct from Music City, this is the Campfire Cafe on the Equestrian Legacy Radio Network.
Riding off in the sunset, blue eyes under my Stetson. A little lady on the front porch, wishing my heart would start sailing. The holsters, I'd be looking mighty fine on a poster. Wanted by the law, but the laws don't apply to me. If I was a cowboy, I'd be wild and free, rolling around these towns like tumbleweed. I'd be a legend at living and leaving, nipping on a whiskey and numbing up my feelings. You thought the West was wild, the queen.
Cowboy to kick things off this Thursday on the Campfire Cafe. In Nashville, Tennessee, I'm your host, Gary Holt. Welcome to the show. So this time last week, if I recall correctly, we were like minus two or something. Snow all over the ground, and today we are hitting 63 here in Nashville and a lot of rain. So welcome to Tennessee, guys. Just the way the weather goes. So last week I did something that my wife said she really liked, and that was a look back at things in country music history on this day. And so let's take a quick look right quick. 1958, Mr. Marty Robbins was at number one on the U.S. country charts with The Story of My Life that was written by Burt Bacharach and Hal David. In 1975, Dolly Parton released The Bargain Store, which became her fifth number one on the country chart as a solo artist. And then in 1980, this was just too good to not share with you guys. In 1980, at the age of 84, comedian George Burns became the oldest performer at that time to have a single in the top 40 of Billboard's Hot Country Singles chart with I Wish I Was 18 Again. The song peaked at number 15 on the charts. So that's just a quick look back at this day in history of the country music world. We have a great show lined up for you today. Our first guest is a multi-talented, multi-multi award-winning singer-songwriter, Miss Kristen Harris. And then on Saddle Up America, we're going to be talking with Trina Morris, and she has just come back from Art of the Cowgirl. So we'll find out a little bit about that and find out what's going on with Trina Morris horsemanship. That's all coming up in the next couple of hours. But right now, let's take a listen to a great song by a good friend of ours, Miss Kristen Harris, our first guest. It's one called Roly Poly. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Campfire Cafe. Kristen Harris, and as I said, she is a multi award-winning singer and songwriter, and she is also a good friend. Kristen Harris, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Gary.
How are you doing, my friend?
I am doing wonderful. Glad to be
back on the show. Well, glad to have you back. So are you staying warm, and are you staying dry out there in Texas today?
Well, trying to, but it's a wet, dreary, kind of cold day, and, you know, I've got outside critters, so I just can't avoid it entirely.
Did you have to break any ice last week?
You know, we had to break some, but our main water trough, we actually have a heater thing that we put on it, keeps it from freezing over, so that's pretty nice.
That is pretty nice. I was never that fortunate. I always had my water tanks were so far away from any electrical outlets or anything that I just couldn't use the heater, you know. If I had, I'd have spent a fortune in extension cords or something. But I do miss that. You know, right now we don't have any horses where we are for the first time in decades. I don't have any.
I bet you do miss that.
I miss it. I do miss it, but we'll get back into that again probably in about a year. But anyway,
That's awesome.
The folks that are joining us for the first time to have you on the show, You have been on the show. You've been a guest on the show. I'm going to guess probably about a decade, which is unbelievable.
Yeah, that's about what I was going to say. It's been a long time. I mean, you've kind of
watched you grow
started,
up.
Yeah, watched me grow up. been there from the beginning.
Gosh, watched you grow up and gotten married and
that's
just
right.
Made such a tremendous performer as well. But for the folks that are maybe listening for the first time somewhere around the world, tell us a little bit about how you got started into music. How did Western music come into your life?
Well, speaking of horses, it really started with that for me. I mean, my family moved out to some property when I was young, but they're not horse people, and actually, they really don't know where I came from because I'm the only one that got into horses or music in my family. But I fell in love with horses and finally got a horse when I was 11. And it was after that that I just, got into all things Western because of the horses. And I started watching old Western movies. And that's where I first was introduced to cowboy songs and yodeling and, singing around the campfire and all that. And I just fell in love with it and decided I wanted to learn to play guitar. And so I started with a book of guitar chords and a borrowed guitar and eventually met Janet McBride and then Devin Dawson.
Yeah.
And they were running the Cowtown Opry Buckaroo program in the Fort Worth Stockyards where they mentor kids in Western music. And that was really the jump off point for me. It gave me, stage experience in front of a crowd and gave me a goal each week to have, a new song learned and allow me to be around other musicians and just get to watch their hands and try to follow along. And so I learned a lot. I had such bad stage fright. I was so shy. So that was really good for me. So that's kind of how it started.
Well, when you talk about stage fright, I remember the first times that you were on the show, you were just a little bit on the bashful side, and we kind of had to pull things out a little bit, but you have become pro. You are such a pro now, and so much fun to visit and talk with. You're very welcome. And you're still into horses, aren't you, and cattle?
Yep, never grew out of that. Yeah, we have three horses and little herd of cows, and that's a dream come true. In fact, I've got a little colt right now that I'm working with, been trying to ride him every day, even in the cold and the rain. So.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Yeah.
Now, is he a Mustang?
Good for
you. See, you had some Mustangs. Is he a Mustang?
Two of our horses are Mustangs. He is not a Mustang as far as we know. But the story on him is that he came from Idaho, actually. And he was given to me by some friends / adopted family. They lived down the road from this farm that had like 300 brood mares, just kind of turned out on this huge field. No one was doing anything with them, and whoever owned them got arrested and put in jail, and the authorities just held a big auction and sold all these horses and their colts, and he was one of those. So I don't really know his breeding. He hadn't really been he was wild, like as if he was a Mustang when I got him, because he had never been handled. He's got long mane and tail, and he looks like he could be a Mustang, but I don't know. He's a smart little guy.
Gosh, well that's great. Well, I love all horses. And
Yeah.
Whether they're Mustangs or my breed is the walking horse, Tennessee walking horses.
Oh,
or
yeah.
Horses or whatever it is. You know, we just love all horses. Well, I am going to get to another song right now. And before we do that, I've got to ask a question. This song is Musician Standard Time. And I was thinking about that this morning. How many shows did you do in 2023? You know?
Oh, gosh. I'd have to go back through my calendar and count them up. I generally do between, 100 and 125 or sometimes even 150 a year, something like that, most years.
Well, now tell us about Musician Standard Time, because that's got to relate to the number of shows that you've been doing.
Yes, that came out of firsthand experience of being on the road and being so busy, shows back to back and traveling between time zones, and that you just don't know where you are anymore or what day it is. And of course, musicians are notorious for being kind of on a different time clock than everyone else, and maybe even kind of in a different world. but yeah, I first got the idea for that song actually when I was in Europe, on tour with a band, or I had a band of French musicians that were backing me up, and we had a small tour around France, and they were your typical musicians that never go to bed, and they're just on their own time zone. So I got some of the inspiration from that.
All right. Well, this is a great song. Let's take a listen to Musician Standard Time. Come back and talk more with our good friend, Ms. Kristen Harris, today on the Campfire Cafe.
Get to the radio station by 6 a.m. to promote the show on the morning news. Keep makeup on till 2 a.m. till you shake some hands. Pay the band and lie awake back at the room. Try not to fall asleep with the vehicle on through. Musician Standard Time, because you're in a different zone. Musician Standard Time, whether close or far from home. You never know what time it really is when you're on the road. It's just part of the lifestyle that makes you crazy prone. So if you're that kind, just fall in line, living on Musician Standard Time. Sound check first, that alarm clock is a pit. Cause you were dreaming that you wrote the next big hit. Musician Standard Time, cause you're in a different zone. Musician Standard Time, whether in Fort Worth or in Rome. You never know what time it really is when you're on the road.
Standard Time.
does.
Musician Standard Time, whether it's daylight or daylight savings time. Hard to tell sometimes. Hard to tell sometimes.
Yep.
Oh, gosh. Hey, describe a gig to the listeners out there. So, I mean, it's not just getting up on the stage and performing. So.
Oh, yeah, that's the very last.
From the time you leave home to travel, you know, let's take people on a journey. So, and unloading gear and all this kind of stuff. Let's talk a little bit about that.
Well, I mean, I usually start, you know, the day ahead. Like, I plan all my set lists out, or at least have a rough draft. And then there's packing. It depends on, you know, if I'm going somewhere where I'm driving or flying, of course, it looks different.
Right.
Or if I've got, you know, a band or other musicians with me, or if I'm just going to play solo. But, yeah, there's all the packing and the planning and then the gear. Definitely more so if you're driving somewhere and or you have a band, you've got a ridiculous
right.
amount of gear, the amps and everything. It's amazing to me. How much we can squeeze into one vehicle and also how much we have to take for just one night gig.
Oh, gosh. All right, so you play with Haley Sandoz quite a bit, and then you've got a couple other folks that perform with you, you know, as we're talking about a band.
Yeah.
So who are
yeah.
these folks? And let's just describe. You guys all go together in a van, or what are you traveling in?
We can fit into somebody's car. It's a game of Tetris fitting everything in. And one time we had to, you know, strap some stuff to the top of the vehicle. But, yeah, we don't have a tour bus or a van or anything. We have had to rent a van a couple times. But, yeah, I've got Matthew Walton plays with me regularly. He's a great steel guitar player and electric lead guitar player, and I've known him for years, actually. He was someone in the Cowtown Opry who taught me a few of my first guitar chords, and then Nathan Phelps usually plays bass for me. He's upright bass player. I mean, has a degree in jazz bass, and he's just
wow.
incredible. So he can take bass solos and all that, and it's just fun. Haley is my fiddler most of the time, unless she's not available. I have some other fiddlers I call. But when it's the four of us, we have a blast because Haley and I are good friends. And Nathan and Matthew are kind of the more they have conversations that go over our heads because they like to talk music theory and mathematics and electrical engineering. And we stick them in the back seat.
Jeez. And so you got an upright bass player. So how do you get all that in a car? I mean,
it's
how do you get
trick.
All that in a car? Jeez.
You'd be surprised. You would be surprised how how small of a vehicle you can fit an upright bass into.
I would be.
It's a game.
Oh, wow. Well, you know, a lot of times people just don't even think about all that it goes into getting to a gig. You know, it's they come,
yeah.
they pay their tickets, they see you perform, and then they don't even think about all of the things that you have to do getting ready for the show.
Oh,
and then
yeah.
after the show is over with, you've got to load everything back up again and head for home or somewhere. So there's
exactly.
a lot involved. Yeah.
There really is.
A lot involved.
Yeah, it's Yeah, you're getting paid for a lot more than just the 2 hours you're on stage.
I guess people need to think about that now when they're booking you for a show. It's like, okay, there is a lot involved. A lot involved.
Yeah.
Well, I want to get to another song because this one kind of ties into American Standard Time and talking about the gigs and getting there. And that's called A Place to Land. Because after all the traveling and the touring, you do have a place to land, don't you?
That's right. It's always good to get back home, especially when you have horses and dogs and a husband at home.
There you go. There you go. Let's take a listen to A Place to Land. We're going to come back and talk more with Kristen Harris today on the Campfire Cafe.
You've always gotta have a place to land. I know you're busy making waves, making schedules, catching planes, but you've always gotta have a place to land. So come on home, come on home, where the deer and the antelope and the buffalo still roam. There's no doubt you're good at rocking a pair of boots that's made for walking, but you've always gotta a place to land. And when you lose the scent you're trailing and your pony's feet are failing, well, you know it's time you find a place to land. So come on home, turn off your phone, just tell them all that they can leave a message at the tone. I hope someday before you're bald, like the tires you last installed, you'll remember that you have a place to land.
Just listening to that song, and I was thinking about how great the production was on this album.
Well, thank you.
Who recorded this for you and is your producer?
Well, I happen to be married to him. My husband, Aram Metter, he's been recording and producing specifically in the Western music genre, especially albums for many, many years. And that's actually how we met. Was I brought my first album to him to record, and that last one, we finished it right around the time we got engaged, and we produced that one together. So that was pretty cool. It was a good testing of our relationship too.
Okay, I've got to ask. So you said you brought your first album to him to produce.
Mm-hmm.
So how old were you at that time?
I was young. I was
16 or 17.
Yeah, yeah. I was 16 or 17. And back then, I mean, there was no, you know, we were not thinking about romance at all. But, we became friends and, saw each other on and off through the years. I recorded a couple other things at that studio, and also with Rich O'Brien. Rich O'Brien is what, you know, Rich worked with Aram for on many, many projects, and, you know, he's kind of the well-known Western music producer, and so that's how I got introduced to Aram. But so Rich was a part of two of my projects, and
that's the late Rich O'Brien, who was a phenomenal performer himself. But why was Aram so slow? What took him so long?
Well, I think maybe he thought, you know, I was too young at the time, and he was dating somebody else when I first met him. But yeah, I think he was just, he tells me now that he liked me for a long time before he ever acted on it, because he was, you know, he was afraid I would, you know, I was too young, or and I was just not interested in dating for a long time. I was so busy with traveling and playing music and horses. I was like, I don't have time for that. But
I just had to tease you about that a little bit. I'll have to tease him about that when I see him again.
Yeah.
But anyway, you are a great, great couple, and did a great job on this album. Really, really enjoyed it.
Thank you.
Well, we were talking about traveling with a group, and and your compadres, you know, they become such close friends as you're spending so much time traveling with the band. You got to have a really good road story about some of your travels.
Well, I've been sitting here thinking about those, and I probably have more than we've got time for, really. But I was also telling you, like, I fly to a lot of my gigs because they're all over the map. And so I've got even more flying stories than on the road.
Than road stories? Okay.
Yeah. Although one interesting one from the road was coming back from New Mexico one time. It was late at night. My dad was actually with me. I was still pretty young, and he would travel with me some. And we hit a Black Angus cow in the middle of the road.
Oh wow!
yeah. That was kind of, thankfully, everyone was okay. But
how was
another
the cow?
Wild story? The cow seemed okay. I mean, she ran off the road after we kind of sideswiped her because we were at the last minute. Yeah.
Okay.
But another kind of crazy story that I can think of is one time I had a gig out in Montana at the Charlie Russell Museum, and flew out there, brought a trio. So I had Haley with me and Nathan, the bass player that I mentioned. The three of us went out there, and they put us up in this very interesting hotel. It had a mermaid bar, which, like, they literally, the bar in the hotel had this huge water tank, and they had these girls hired to, like, dress up as mermaids and swim. So that was really interesting. I mean, I'm not a drinker. We didn't go into the bar anyways. I think Haley was underage at the time anyways. But that was kind of an odd thing about the hotel. Well, when we get to our room, we see these, like, lights up above the room. And it was a nice enough hotel. It wasn't, like, seedy or anything. But these odd lights above the door that, like, red – there was a red light, a green light, or a yellow light. And we asked the front desk about them, and they're like, oh, that's just some indicators for our house cleaners or – the maids. Come to find out later, there was more going on at that hotel than meets the eye. And those lights were indicating for something else that wasn't quite legal. We were a little Yeah. So,
red light, green light. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow. Wow.
Never know what you're gonna encounter.
You never know. You never know. Getting quite an education out there on the road, Miss Kristen. I'm telling
yes.
you what. I'm telling
Another
you what.
Another time this past year, I was supposed to be in New Orleans for the cattle convention, and then had to fly from there, Nevada, for the National Cowboy Poetry Gathering, and then go from there to Idaho. And this was when a big ice storm hit Texas. Not the big Snowmageddon, but it was a big enough ice storm that all the airports shut down, and we got stuck at Dallas Love Field Airport for like 15 hours.
Oh, wow.
And we finally got off the ground and made it to New Orleans, but our luggage never made it. And so I was there.
Been there, done
that. I had
that.
My hat on, but I had nothing to wear to perform in. I had to go, you know, find a Cavender's and did the gig there, and then had to go flying straight to Salt Lake City from New Orleans to get to Elko. And by the time I was landing in Salt Lake City, my luggage was finally landing in New Orleans. And I was in Elko in the dead of February, and I had no suitcase,
no
jacket,
oh.
nothing.
Oh,
and my luggage never did make it to me that whole trip, and I had to go from there to Idaho, and that was a wild, wild trip.
Oh, wow. Wow, wow, wow. Now, see, that's what we're talking about. People just don't realize what goes into performers getting from one place to another. It's just not
yes,
show up and get
don't.
On the stage. It is not.
Yeah.
It is not. Those are pretty good road stories, Kristen. I like that. I will remember the one with the red light and the green light and the yellow light. That one.
Yeah,
that one's
a...
Oh, gosh.
And
cows
they had a
around.
Rubber ducky. Oh.
Oh, no, go ahead. Tell me about the rubber ducky. That's
too interesting. Oh, they had a rubber ducky in every bathtub in our rooms. I thought that was a
At
different
At the same hotel?
Yes.
Wow. Wow. I'm not even going to go there. I'm not even going to go
yeah.
there.
Yeah. That was a... Yeah. We only
cows
spent
around.
About 3 hours that night anyway because I had to fly out early, so...
That was probably a good thing. That was probably a good
yeah.
thing. Cows around, Corb Blund. So have you performed with Corb?
Not with Corb, no. I mean, I've been at the same events, like, you know, at Elko and stuff, that he's on the billing.
Right.
Maybe one of these days.
All right. So how did you select Cows Around? Because I love this song. And by the way, I like it better with your version than his version. But how did
well,
you,
thank you.
You're welcome. So how did you select this for the album?
Well, I first of all, I'm a huge fan of Corb Lund and his songwriting. And but when I heard this song, I was like, number one, it's about cows, and I love cows. And number two, it's totally swingy. You know, it's in a Western swing style that really fits my style. And I was just
right.
like, I've got to learn that. And so, yeah, I just thought it was real fitting. And like you said, I changed it a little bit, made it my style a little bit. So it's not exactly like his, but we had fun with it.
Well, it's a great song. This is Cows Around. It's Kristen Harris. You're listening to the Campfire Cafe, heard around the world on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Apple Podcast, and most streaming platforms. Just search for Equestrian Legacy Radio.
Everything is better with some cows around. Living in town sometimes brings me down. Let me bestow this Western blessing. Share what I have found. May you always have cows around. What else you gonna spend that extra money on? What else is gonna get you up hours before dawn? What else is gonna keep you toiling on and on and on? May you always have cows around. Come on, you know you got too much. in your plan. You need to invite all of the frustration that you can. May you always have cows around. Everything is better with some cows around. Living in town sometimes brings me down. Let me bestow this western blessing, leave you saddlebound. May you always have cows around. Gonna make your pony puff and wheeze, or make your cabin out at below 30 degrees. What else is gonna eat you right completely out of feed? May you always have cows around. But you barely get to see your banker otherwise, and you'd never get to fix no fence or buy no barbed wire, nor have some neighbors maybe bull breathe heifers that you prize. May you always have cows around. Everything is better with some cows around. Living in town sometimes brings me down, and although this western blessing leaves you cattle bound, may you always have cows around.
Photographs on your social media of you out there with those cows. So what's your herd up to now?
Well, you know, they're about to start calving here in the next few weeks, and they're doing good. Got a good herd going. Yeah.
Good. So how much time do you get to spend with the livestock? I mean, you're traveling so often, so much. How much time do you actually get to spend with the cattle and the horses?
Well, I try to make time. Like I said, I've been trying to ride my colt every day that I'm home, but of course that I'm home is the key words.
Right.
It's a balance, as I'm sure you're aware, being married to Mary Kay. And my cattle are another, we've got our horses right here, but, my cattle are another story entirely because, you know, they're actually in Idaho, the grandparents, their herd, and that they're the ones that gave me the opportunity to first, you know, buy some cattle and get into the business. And I get up there still several times a year. And So for a week here and there at a time. But, yeah, one of these days we're going to have, you know, enough space to bring the cows down here. And then I'll have to just put Aram to work when I'm out of town.
Oh, gosh. Does he travel with you any? Some? A little
he
bit?
He does, as often as he can. Yeah, I love it when he gets to travel with me. But he's a busy guy, too, and our schedules, both being freelance, you know, self-employed professions.
In the music business, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, so it can be a little crazy. So, yeah, not as often as I'd like, but, you know, he usually comes with me a few times a year.
Oh, that's great. That is great. We had Tuesday, we had a young lady that was on the show who is now 19 years old. And she is she's older than her years, I've got to tell you.
Yeah.
Singer-songwriter. She had gone through cancer at age 15 and is a survivor, free of cancer.
Wow.
She just did the Kelly Clarkson show a couple of months ago. Yeah. Yeah. And just super, super talented. So this was a question that her name is Ava Page. And if you want to go back and listen, you can go back and listen to the show live live from Nashville. Yeah. Lily Robert was on that show as well. So you know Lily. But the question that I asked Ava, and again, she is mature beyond her years. And you'll tell when you listen to the show. But I asked her, I said, what is your goal? So what is Kristen Harris's goal? Where do you want to end up? Where do you want to see your career go? Or, you know, what's your goal in life?
You know, I've been asked that question a lot through the years. And it's a good question to think about because I'm not sure I've always known the answer. Mainly, like, you know, the way I got into music was not starting out. I have some people ask me sometimes, like, how do you break into the music business? How do you get to be doing it professionally? And it's a hard question for me to answer because when I started out, I never went into it with that's where I want to be. You know, I have this goal to be a professional musician. It was more of I just fell in love with the music and I couldn't stop. And that's where it led me because I was and just so passionate about it. And, you know, I know the Lord's hand was in it too. So as far as where I want, you know, to go from here is I have goals of recording more albums and writing more songs and I've been doing that, actually. I've been writing a lot this past year.
That's
great. And I've got multiple albums that I want to record and just have to find the time to get all that recorded. And, you know, there's more places I want to go and venues I want to play to. And but overall, just, you know, I don't have goal. I've had bucket list items and dreams of things like I always wanted to get paid to go play in Europe, and that happened already. One of the ones still left on my list is play the Grand Ole Opry, which has not happened
there
yet.
There you go.
But
there you go.
Yeah, and just, you know, I guess the more broad generic goal is you know, spread joy with my music and give glory to God and wherever He wants it to take me, because I'm just feeling really blessed at already what I get to do.
Yeah, well, and I'm going to tell you, you bring joy everywhere you go, and people love your performances and love to see you perform. I can recall that we had you come to a rendezvous a few years ago. Actually, it's getting to be several years ago now. Golly, Moses.
It is.
Time gets away. But we had a whole list of performers that were performing there. And I can remember one of my brothers that came and listened. And out of the whole bunch, you were the one that impressed him. And included in that list were folks like Michael Martin Murphy and Belinda Gale and the many others.
Some of my heroes.
Yeah. So this girl is something else. She is just special. And I think he's right. I think he was absolutely right.
Well, thank you.
Let's take a listen to a song called Old Soul. Tell us about Old Soul.
I wrote this with Randy Houston, and this is very much autobiographical. People for years have been telling me I'm an old soul because, I mean, for one thing, being drawn to this older music. I just never was on the same page with a lot of my peers as far as just getting into the current fads. I mean, I avoided getting a cell phone for as long as I possibly could until my parents made me get one. I get excited about things like old-fashioned typewriters and the old dial telephones and, you know, I just always loved the older things. And so that was the inspiration for this song.
Well, you are an old soul, and that's for sure. So let's take a listen. Let's take a listen. This is Kristen Harris. We'll be back. You're listening to the Campfire Cafe.
She likes to live by the code of the cowboy, and she's mesmerized by a simpler time, a throwback back when people used fountain pens and still sat on their porch telling lies. And she wants to raise cows just like Grandpa does. She don't keep up with what is, she keeps up with what was. Her generation finds her taste a bit strange, 'cause her fashion's outdated by 80 years and some change. But she likes reading books and a worn-out King. he's an old soul.
That is old soul, Kristen Harris. I'm so glad that you finally got a cell phone, by the way.
Yeah.
Do you even have a landline? Do you even have a landline? Do you have a landline?
No, not anymore. No, I don't. I had to fully convert against my wishes. I had to get into the modern world. It's just the way it goes.
Gosh. Well, listen, you have been absolutely a joy to have on the show today. And it was so great to have you and Aram in Nashville and stop by and spend time with Mary Kay and myself. For the Josie Awards.
Oh, we loved that. We loved that. Yeah. We got to do that again.
We do. And you just know that you have a room waiting for you when you come back, okay?
Thank you. We'll take you up on
it. You are so welcome. All right. We count on it. All right. So for the folks that are listening around the world, tell us how we can find you, get your music, and follow your tour schedule.
Everything is on my website. KristenHarris.com, KRISTYN. Facebook and Instagram are the two social media platforms that I'm pretty active on.
Okay. All right. And where are you headed next?
I'm leaving. Yes. Leaving for Elko next week. So.
Okay. All right, so that'll be a big event. Everybody will want to try to make it to Elko, Nevada, and we've got a lot of friends that are going to be out there performing this time. So hope you have a good time.
Right.
I hope that your clothes follow you out there this time.
Boy, I do too.
Oh, gosh. Well, Kristen, we're going to close this with Wildfire. And again, I think that you outdid Michael Martin Murphy on this song, too, but don't tell him I said that, okay?
Thank you.
All right.
I enjoyed recording
this
one.
You have been a joy. We look forward to having you back again and travel safely, okay, my friend?
All righty. Thank you, Gary. Thanks for
having
me.
All right. Thank you. You're welcome. This is Wildfire, Kristen Harris. We'll be back in just a moment.
Calling wildfire. there came an early snow. And a hoot owl howling outside my window now. 6 nights in a row. Oh, he's coming for me, I know. And on wildfire, both gonna go.
It's time now for Saddle Up America on the Equestrian Legacy Radio Network. When we come back, we'll be talking with our good friend, Ms. Trina Morris, today on Saddle Up America.
Heard about a land where the cowboys came. Taped a picture on the wall from a magazine. Got a renegade heartbeat in his chest. Gonna beg, steal, or borrow his way out west. And the sea of stage drawing on and on. Gonna learn the way of a native son. Gonna turn the head of a who. He's riding on a horse, I say, come freedom. Horseback men are made by the mile. Throw a leg over with a squint and a smile. No price for money can pay them dues. Just dragging calves and building loops. In a sea of stage, drawing on and on. Gonna learn the way of a native son. Gonna turn the head of all who see him. And he's right. We'll be right back.
is my wife, Mary Kay Holt, and her song, A Horse Called Freedom from the Frontier album. Well, it's time to Saddle Up America. I'm your host, Gary Holt, and joining us today is a good friend, a young Wyoming cowgirl, Miss Trina Morris. Hey, Trina.
Hey, how are you today?
I am fine. A little wet here in Tennessee after being minus two and snow all over the place. We now have rain coming down and 63 degrees. So how is your weather out there? I watched your weather. It looked like you were pretty snowy out there.
Well, we went from, I think it said minus 44.
Oh, my gosh.
But now it's like 55 and the sun is shining. So I think
this
Mother
weather
Nature
just can't
is
decide.
A little mixed up, right?
Yeah, I think somebody said the other day it's confused. It is confused.
Yes.
Hey, we'll take this warm weather, won't we? That's pretty nice.
I'm not complaining, not at all.
Not
going to
complain.
It's easier to move hay and all that kind of stuff.
That's right. Well, you just came back from Art of the Cowgirl, and I wanted to talk just a little bit about that as we get started. And what was this your second year to be out there as part of that?
Yep, this was my second year doing it, and trying to think. The first year I was the master horseman, and then this year I came back to showcase my recipient, and I also did a clinic the first 2 days of it. So this year, of course, is a little bit different than last year because we didn't have Tammy there.
Yeah. Well, her loss was pretty hard on a lot of people, and it was kind of interesting, Trina, because she had been on the show from the very beginning when she started Art of the Cowgirl. I think she was on the show and we talked about that. So either she or Mesa had been on the show every year since that time. And I was just getting ready to call her to see who we could schedule for the show when I found out she'd passed away. And that was quite a loss. But can you tell folks a little bit about what the Art of the Cowgirl is and what her legacy is before we start talking about Trina Morris' horsemanship?
Sure, I can give it a go.
All right.
But the Art of the Cowgirl is a week long, and it kind of showcases everything, you know, cowgirl tradition, or I guess cowgirl cowboy tradition. There's the World's Greatest Horsewoman competition, which third time in a row, Kelsey Love Thomas won it. And
wow.
They also do WRCA Ranch Rodeo. And another good friend of mine, her team got second in it, Missy Hammock and Hammock Ranch, they got second in it. And then Kelsey's team won that as well. So she kind of cleaned up.
Wow.
But that's always a lot of fun to watch, either one of those deals. And as well as that going on, then different people doing clinics. And I did a horsemanship clinic. There were some people there doing cow working clinic. There's also people that do clinics or workshops. Teresa Black was there doing rawhide and horsehair hitching. She did a workshop, and then there's saddle makers there, silversmiths. I don't even know all the workshops they had, to be honest with you. But it's something.
Well, there
were
singer-songwriter workshops. There were singer-songwriter workshops because our friend Joni Harms and her daughter Olivia were out there. And so really, basically, it is art. It is the art of the West that's being exhibited, and clinics and demonstrations that are going on. And then all of this is to help further young people and get them into apprenticeships.
The masters, like I was last year, then we got to choose out of, you know, people rode in, and so we had to go through and choose the best one we thought would fit us. And the person I had chose last year, she was a young rodeo girl, and in her letter, she said she wanted to be the world's first NFR pickup girl. And so even though she's fine calling them pickup men, but obviously she's a girl. And then I went to Facebook and watched some of her, hunted her down, watched some of her videos. And after I watched some of her videos, you could tell her personality was very, like, you know, bright and things like that. And then she was handy already with the horses, but she knew nothing about ranching or horsemanship of this way, I guess you could say. So
right.
She didn't know anything about me, really, and I didn't know anything about her. So Kirsten came last year for 2 months. I think I was the person that kept a student the longest.
Wow.
But I had her for 2 months, and then actually she came back in December, and then she's going to come back in on her spring break in March. But she got to ride everything Stark colts, and, you know, she brought her rodeo horses too. So there was three of her pickup horses here. And she said it at the Art of the Cowgirl, but it was about 3 or 4 days in, and she was talking to her mom, and her mom said, you know, how's it going? And she goes, well, I don't know. We haven't even got out of a walk. Mostly it's just even standing still. And I guess her mom was like, well, her mom was kind of like, well, what's going on? And she says, well, I don't know what she does to the horses, but whatever the hell it is, she does it to me too, because she got one horse named Hobo. She said Hobo was sleeping and I was sleeping too. And it was true. I was working on Hobo on the ground. She was sitting in the saddle. And I was working him on the ground, and I looked up and I was like, are you sleeping in the saddle? She was like, no, I'm just relaxed. So she calls it voodoo is what she said. So I do voodoo is what she says.
Oh, gosh, but that's funny.
It was I couldn't see taking somebody for, the majority of people I think took them for 2 weeks. And, you know, I guess if you're teaching them something maybe more physical, like the horsehair hitching or something, you could get them started and then, you know, leave them on their own. But with the horses,
right,
there's so many variety and variations of things. I wanted to make sure the person got the best they could. So she got all of ranch life, from bottle feeding the calf we had to branding, and like I said, riding all different kind of horses. And so it was when we went back to the Art of the Cowgirl, she rode in the clinic. A friend of mine brought horses from Canada, and they stay down there in Arizona for the whole time. But so she got to ride another young colt, and she's very good about it, very positive, because my friend just said it's got 30 rides or so on it. And I said to her, I think it'll be okay. There you go. Take it in the arena. And she just smiles. She takes it in the arena. At one point of the clinic, the horse got a little scared, and I looked over there. I was going to say something, and then I could hear her giggling, and I just said, oh, she'll be all right. We'll continue over here.
Oh, gosh. Well, that is fantastic. And it's fantastic that you spent so much time to just not brush it off, not rush it, to make sure she was getting what she needed. So that is fantastic. That is fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, Art of the Cowgirl was in Cave Creek, Arizona, and my understanding is that everybody just did a fantastic job, and that the remembrance for Tammy Pate was great, and the memorial service was great as well. So.
Yep.
I'm so happy that you were there to be part of that.
Yeah, I mean, I feel honored that I was asked to come back. And my booth is right across from Shorty's booth, or should I say Shorty's told us we had to be in a booth next to them. So I have a lot of fun with those ladies when the week is on, and my side job is selling hats for them. So there's no time to be bored around there.
Oh, that's great. That is great. Well, I want to take a break and listen to a song about horses. The first one was about horses. The second one is about horses. And this one is by a friend of yours, Miss Trinity Seeley. It's called Strawberry Roan. We're going to come back and talk more with Trina Morris today on Saddle Up America. Thank you.
nobody else. I'm here all alone, just me and the yearlings and a strawberry rose. The view that I'm seeing should be on a silver screen. It lives here alone in my memory of Van Gogh painted sky. Charlie Russell scene, Da Vinci of color, the sand hill so green. It's me and Miss Rembrandt out here all alone. There's no one to share this brown valley I roam. Some things are meant for the beholder.
Strawberry Roan, that's Trinity Seeley. I am not sure whether that's Trinity doing all that whistling or not. I'm going to have to find out about that. Do you know, Trina? Is she doing the whistling on
that? I don't know if she's doing the whistling on that, but I will say at Art of the Cowgirl, I was doing my clinic in a arena kind of behind the cantina where they sang, and
yeah.
I was just finishing it, and I thought, boy, that voice sounds familiar. I could hear them, you know, singing. And then it was Trinity, and she was actually singing the Ranch Beauty Queen song that she had wrote about me.
That's right.
So
I can
recognize her voice anywhere, but I'm not sure if that was her whistling.
I'm not sure either. I'm going to have to find out. I'll ask her. But anyway, good song. Well, let's talk about Trina Morris' horsemanship. So for folks that maybe are tuning in for the first time around the world listening to the show, tell us a little bit about what Trina Morris horsemanship is all about and when you got started and how you got started with this.
Okay. Well, I travel across North America, so around the world. I haven't been anywhere else, but it seems like Canada and the U.S. keeps me busy enough. And I do horsemanship, colt starting, cow working clinics, and it's kind of anything or everything you could imagine. So I take the horse from where it is and the humans from where they are and get them to understand why and how their horse does what it does and how they can, you know, get along with it in a manner that's not causing it to be a prisoner. It's a partner with you. So it's a never-ending job that seems to have a lot of job security, and I really enjoy it. The people you get to meet are pretty cool, pretty awesome for the most part. And the ones that aren't, then I just learn good lessons from them.
There you go. Well, you know, one of the things that I think is interesting, Trina, about your program is the fact that you don't come in and have a set program, but you design your program for the folks and the horses that are there at the time. And I think that is just kind of special and unique. And did you start out that way, or did you have a program that you had that was set and then decided, no, this is not working? Or how did that come about? Because that is different.
I always just kind of fly by the seat of my pants. But no, the way it happened was I rode horses for people, for the public, and my late husband had done clinics. And when I would give the horses back to the people to ride, a lot of times, you know, I had rode four or five horses for people in one area. And so when I dropped the horses off, then I would hang around and just help them with their horses for a bit. So I know they, you know, they could both get along. And then that's kind of, for me, how the clinics, or however you want to say that, got started. And I never have had a set, like ABC or a cookie cutter, or however you want to say that method, because it's always a different human with a different horse. So you might have a similar horse from somewhere, you know, the way they act or how they're built or all those kinds of things. But then it's with a completely different human. It might be a high-strung human, and the last horse was with a quiet human. So I always try to work from where the horse and the human are at. And to me, it's not so much of a technical thing. It's more of, if you can understand the horse and the human to get let down and get in a learning frame of mind, then I can help them with the certain things that they have troubles with. But usually once the horse and the human get in a letdown frame of mind, you know, and they leave their ego at the gate, then it just kind of all flows together anyways, because the horse wants to do things for you. And, you know, if the human's in a good frame of mind, then they're asking the horse to do things in a better way. And so then it usually works out quite simple. I always say it's simple, just not easy. And probably the biggest issue that gets in people's way is their ego. And I'm not a person that gives a lot of attaboys or good jobs, because I think once you really start to understand what I'm saying, the horse is the one giving you the good jobs or the attaboys by the way he starts to be a partner with you. So, I mean, I guess I could tell you a good job, but I want you to learn how to feel things. So if you're truly feeling of it, then you don't need me to say it, because the horse already told you.
Well, I like that. I like that. I think it's the response from the horse. Yeah. So I've talked to a lot of folks that are in the horse training business. So it's really training the rider or the owner, the rider, more than it is the horse, isn't it? The horses kind of do what they're supposed to do if they're handled the proper way.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of like everything. You could really take horse out. You could put cow in, dog in, your kid, whichever.
Right.
Because if the horse, what happens is the horse doesn't understand you. So you have to find a way to, get across to the horse to understand you. When he understands you, he respects you. Then when he respects you, now you can build a relationship. And that's what we do with everything in life, right? First time I met you, it's not a bad thing to say I didn't have much respect because I didn't understand you. Now I've been doing these interviews for a long time, and we talk on other occasions. So then I have more respect for you because I understand you more. And so to me, that's probably the biggest, you know. And I never actually, if I could call it really what I do, I'd be the get ready girl, because I don't train anybody and I don't train any horses. I just get them ready, and then y'all take care of yourselves, the horse and the human. I'll get you ready.
That's interesting. I like that. Yeah. I like that.
If you have a hard go, like I say to a friend of mine, sometimes I just get her ready to cry, and then she takes care of the crying.
the get ready girl. I'm going to remember that. I'm going to remember this. So when I see you next time, when I see you, I will say, this is the get ready girl. So that is pretty cool.
When they had we sat on the, we had a panel of the artists and their students, and then they interviewed us, and I got to sit beside Barbara Van Cleve, who's a black and white photographer. She's incredible.
Yeah.
But she's funnier than heck. I mean, I'll tell you what now. Most of the panel, me and her were laughing all the time, and when I told her I was a get ready girl, she thought that was the funniest thing she'd ever heard.
Oh, gosh. And Barbara, how old would Barbara be? She's in her, what, 80s, probably?
I think she was 84, I think. I could be wrong on that.
Yeah.
I thought 84.
Yeah. But such a talented artist,
mm-hmm.
I would imagine.
Yeah.
Well, talk to us a little bit about your ranch clinics, because you are doing more ranch clinics than you used to do, aren't you?
Yeah, I used to travel on the road every weekend, just about from the end of March till the end of November. And now I probably do half and half. So I do a public clinic where you can come. I come to your area and you bring your horse, and then I help you, you know, there with your own horse. You can do a mini ranch clinic, which I started those a couple of years ago, where my great idea was that maybe at the clinics you don't always know what it should feel like, or maybe you've never worked cattle, you know, been on a ranch with a horse. So a mini ranch clinic, you can fly in and they're 2 or 3 days long and you ride my horses. So
okay.
You can kind of feel what it should be like. You know, maybe your horse at the clinic couldn't spin, just say that. And then you can come to the ranch and you can ride one of mine that spins, so you can start to feel what it would feel like. And then when you go home, you can try it on your own horse.
Okay.
Or just the fact that some people don't live where they can go to a ranch and ride in the wide open spaces and gather some longhorns and watch the babies run around and, you know, see 30 head of horses running in the morning, things like that. So it just gives them a opportunity to, you know, get out of their box and do something different. And then I also do a big ranch clinic. So that's 12 days long, and you bring your own horse and you drive here to the ranch and you stay with me on the ranch, and we do everything you can imagine. We brand, work the cattle, start colts. Here we had enough young kids at the clinic. Kirsten, the recipient, and then I had 4 or 5 more. I should say they're 18 or 19 or 20. They're not that young. But they all wanted to start colts, so then every day after the regular ranch clinic, I would start supper, and then I'd run back down to the arena, and we'd work colts for a couple hours, and then come back up and give everybody dinner. So,
oh wow!
It can, yeah. It turns into. I mean, I couldn't tell you if you interviewed people that have been for a long time, they would tell you the same thing. It's never the same. There's always something different happens.
And I understand you're an awfully good cook too.
Well, I work at it. How's that? I think I'm okay. Nobody's died yet. No, I'm just kidding.
Nobody's died yet. That's a good thing.
Yeah, nobody's died yet.
Yeah.
So
no, it looks
I have
like
made
you
some
prepare
failures,
some
but most people are.
Some pretty amazing meals is what it looks like. And I think Trinity Seed was out there when she wrote that Ranch Beauty Queen. She was at one of your clinics, wasn't she?
Yeah, that was a few years ago. She was on her way somewhere, and she came and stayed overnight, and then she sang for everybody, you know, and they got to meet her and everything. I call her my little sister, and I'm her big sister, even though we're sisters from another mister. But,
right.
Because we're both Canadian, I guess. But,
yeah,
people really enjoyed it. She sang. I have a bar out back of my house, and so we set her up there, and she sang, and people had dinner with her and had a visit, so... Always something different like that, you know. I've had another friend of mine that's won a lot of roping, Val Baker. She won a lot of roping in the APHA stuff, and she's also a veteran. She came one time and helped everybody get better with their roping for a couple of days. So, but I can't, it's always something new. That's all I can promise it, anybody.
Well, that's great. That is great. That is great. So when you're doing your clinics now, what is your schedule coming up? Where are you going to be?
All over. I start in Texas this year, and I think I actually end in Texas this year. But I go Texas, Pennsylvania, let's see, Michigan. I'm not going to California or Washington this year. I traded that for... I'm going back to Canada, to Manitoba, Alberta, British Columbia, trying to think where else I go. Can't think about that off the top of my head right now. And most places I go twice. So I go in the spring and then I go in the, or, you know, summer, fall, something like that. And so most people can get to see me two times a year if they don't do anything else, like come to the ranch or something.
So when are you going to be close to Nashville, Tennessee the next time?
Oh, I'll be in Custer, Kentucky, which that's as close as I get, which is right beside Louisville.
All right. Well, that's not too far away. So we'll have to plan on trying to catch up with you in Custer, Kentucky this time. So you know what the dates are on that yet?
I believe they're the 13th. Well, I can look quick here. I think they're October 13th. My life. 12th and 13th. I never know which day it is. October 12th and 13th. So that one is a private, that's a private clinic. And so we take just a very limited amount of people. And it's actually, if you wanted to come to one to watch, it's a super fun one to come to. We work a lot of cattle and they have some really good cattle. So you can watch the cow working, which can be quite fun.
Okay. All right. I have written that down on my calendar.
Maybe your wife will get inspired to write a new song instead of Ranch Beauty Queen.
She might. She might.
Come up with a new one. It'd probably be goofy, though, now.
Oh, gosh. Well, I put that date down, so we're gonna put down Custer, Kentucky on October 12th and 13th. So
sure.
would actually love to get to meet you live and in person. So that'd be kind of cool.
Live and in person.
Well, you are always a joy to talk with. And people need to check your schedule out. So where can they find your schedule? TrinaMorris.com?
They can either go to TrinaMorrisHorsemanship.com or some people know it as your innercowgirl.com.
Okay.
There's also Facebook. There's a group, Trina Morris Horsemanship, or you can just find me on Facebook. And Inner Cowgirl, I think, is the one that Instagram is under. I'm not super great at social media. I have some younger people that help me in the background, but I'm usually outside doing stuff.
Well, I just want to say that you have a loyal group of followers and friends and folks that come to your clinics, I guess, every chance that they get. So that's kind of special. You have some people that really are your fans and followers out there. And so that speaks very, very highly of you.
Well, when I went to the Art of the Cowgirl, I mean, that's a I'm doing a clinic for 2 days, and then I have interviews and, you know, different things that kind of sat on the panel and things like that. So there was some ladies that came, two ladies came down from Canada, and then the lady that hosts that Custer clinic, Izzy, she ended up, poor girl, she ended up being in the booth most of the time. But there was a few more of us. Kirsten was there, obviously, too, my friend Tina, and another gal, Megan. And without them, I would not be able to do it. Sabrina and Allison came from Canada, and then the rest of the ladies I named. And without them, I wouldn't be able to do it. And my clinic host from Arizona, Katie, she came with tables and things like that. So, you know, I flew in there. Yeah, and then Royal Beef Threads, because they do my embroidery, and because of the storms and everything, we had to get everything UPS to the hotel, and she made sure that they got on time, except, just one box got delayed, so. If people really knew what it takes, and then I had a couple people have to stay here at the ranch because, you know, time I have to be gone for so long, so they split it up between the two of them when they could be at the ranch and when they couldn't be, so kind of takes a whole army to send me down the road. And
it does.
That's probably one of the things I'm most blessed with, is that the people, I know it's a business, but I really have a hard time with it being a business, because once you've rode with me for a while and I know your horse, or maybe I sell you a horse, which I sell very few of them, but you know, I really start to care. I wonder how the horse is doing or how you're doing, or maybe they bring their kid. And there's some people, just the other day, a friend of mine messaged me, and I think her son turns 19 or 20, and, you know, she said, I've been coming to the clinics for that long that you met me before, son, and now he's like 20 years old.
Oh, wow.
So,
wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And the one gal that came down, Allison, she's younger. I let her ride a stud horse, my friend's stud horse, in the clinic, and I think I've been helping her since she was 12 years old. And I don't want to say how old she is now because I'll feel old.
Oh, gosh. Some people just don't age, and I think that's probably you. I think that's probably
All the kids keep me young. That's what I'll profess to.
There you go. There you go. Well, find her on social media, on Facebook, Inner Cow Girl, or Trina Morris Horsemanship, or TrinaMorrisHorsemanship.com is the website. And maybe we'll see some of these folks out in Custer, Kentucky in October. That'd be kind of a cool deal as well. So we look forward to seeing you out there. Thank you for joining us on the show today. You are always so much fun to talk with and have as a guest.
Well, I think that has something to do with the interviewer.
Well, I'm not going to take any credit for that. I give all the credit to our guests. So we love having you on the show. Love having you on the show. So thank you so much.
No, thank you, guys. I really appreciate it, and it's always fun to catch up with you.
All right. Talk with you soon, and we'll see you in Custer in October. I've got it down on the calendar now, so we look forward to seeing you then. All right?
10-4.
All right. So we're going to listen to a song from Wiley and the Wild West. It's called To Ride, and we'll be back in just a moment on Saddle Up America. Trina, thanks again. Appreciate you.
Yes, thank you, guys.
All right.
God, the mighty architect, a noble beast he did perfect, with delicate ear and arching neck, and hooves that dare to fly. To the stirrup I am drawn, freedom found and faith reborn. I'm carried through the raging storm to revelation's door. Song, the rhythmic roll, the thrilling thrum, a beat that echo like a drum, an anthem to my soul. Ring of spur and rattle of bit, my heart treasures every trip, as across the sod we wheel and rip, wind roaring in my down deep beneath the prairie ground, where the horses graze all around, casting shadows upon my bones. And I'll take that final ride up across the great divide, forevermore to be astride on a gallop to the stars. Oh, what heaven to ride, to ride, to ride. Oh, what heaven to ride.
Wiley in the Wild West, the song is To Ride. It has been such a fun afternoon to visit with Kristen Harris out in Texas, and then to visit with Miss Trina Morris up in Wyoming. And we hope you've enjoyed the show as much as I have today. So great music and great, great conversation. We want to invite you to tune in every Tuesday for Live from Nashville. And we have some great guests that we have from the country, gospel, bluegrass, and Americana world that join us on that show with my co-host, my wife, Mary Kay Holt. That airs every Tuesday at noon live. And then you can listen to that show as well as the Campfire Cafe and Saddle Up America at any time on iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and most other streaming platforms. Just search for Equestrian Legacy Radio. Well, it's been fun, as I said, and we appreciate you very much for tuning in. Tell your friends about us, and we love to have folks that comment about the shows. Shoot us an email and visit our website at equestrianlegacy.net if you'd like to get in touch with us that way. We're going to close the show today with a great song from Mr. Chris Ledoux. It's called Western Skies. Thanks so much for joining us, and we'll see you next week on the Campfire Cafe and Saddle Up America.
My Nashville friends, they think I'm strange to make my home out on the range. They think it's nothing but a godforsaken land. Why don't you bring your guitar and family, move on down to Tennessee? Well, I just smile cause they don't understand. But if they ever saw sunrise on a mountain morning, or watch those cotton candy clouds go by, then they'd know why I live beneath these western skies. I got peace of mind and elbow room. I love to smell the sage in bloom. I catch a rainbow on my fishing line. We got county fairs and rodeos. Ain't a better place for my kids to grow. Just turn them loose in the western summertime. And if you ever held your woman on a summer's evening while the prairie moon was blazing in her eyes, then you know why I live beneath these western skies. Well, you ain't lived until you watch those northern lights. Sit around the campfire and hear the coyotes call at night. It makes you feel alright. So guess I'll stay right where I'm at, wearing my boots and my cowboy hat. But I'll come and see you once in a while. I'll bring my guitar and sing my songs. Sorry if I don't stay too long. I love Tennessee, but you know it just ain't my style. I gotta be where I can see those Rocky Mountains, ride my horse and watch an eagle fly. I gotta live my life and write my songs beneath these western skies.